WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Om Puri, has made over 130 movies, mostly in Bombay, in the Indian film industry known as Bollywood. He's acted in commercial films and art films. He's also starred in the British films My Son the Fanatic, in which he played an Indian emigre whose son has become a Muslim fundamentalist, and East is East, in which he played a Pakistani emigre trying to raise his children with Pakistani traditions. Now Om Puri co-stars in the new Merchant Ivory movie The Mystic Masseur, adapted from a novel set in Trinidad by Nobel Prize winner V.S. Naipaul. It's about a schoolteacher living in the island's capital city. When he learns his father has died, he returns to the village where he grew up and decides that in order to fulfill his dream of becoming a writer, he should remain in the village and write. Om Puri plays the neighbor who encourages the writer and also wants to set him up with his daughter.
Sahib, something happened to Leela Foot. I wonder if you can take a look at it.
I'm not no doctor, man. I don't know how to take care of nobody's foot.
Man, how can you say that? Your father was the best massager we ever had. It's in your blood, Sahib. Leela, come here. Sahib.
Where it hurt? It hurt here?
Yes, Sahib.
Or more over here?
You get the feel, Sahib. You get the gift.
Pa, it fixed. It don't hurt no more.
It fixed?
I can tell you, Sahib. You is your father's son. I wonder why you don't take up massaging. That way you get to know everybody in the village. You're part of the community, Sahib. Man of the people.
I spoke with actor Om Puri in 2000. You made about 130 films in India. That's a staggering number of films. Tell me what the production schedule is like that would enable you to make so many films.
Well, India is the largest film-producing country in the world. I mean, it's a huge country with 900 million people and about 23 different languages. And the main national language is Hindi. And, I mean, I worked mostly in Hindi films. So for an actor, it is not a big deal to do, 130 films in 24 years. There are actors in India who really overwork too much, and they may be in their mid-60s or something, and they may have done 350 films, you know, which is quite... If you have a major part, if you're playing a central part, then maybe you'll be required for 8 weeks to finish the film. And in some films, you may have a smaller part, which means you may be required for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So easily, you can do 5-6 films in a year.
What are some of the typical roles you've played in Indian movies?
Well, I have been mostly associated, my early career, for about 10-12 years, I have been... with the art cinema, which is a cinema which is socially relevant, which talks about the social issues, social political issues, etc., which is small in nature, which is small in budget also, and whereas the commercial cinema is huge, big canvas, big money, and art cinema gave me respect, credibility, status, and gave me opportunity to travel all over the world because those films went to all kind of festivals all over the world. Whereas commercial cinema gave me a standard of living back home. So I'm part of my work, which is about 35-40%, is commercial cinema, which essentially is an entertaining cinema and what we call escapist cinema.
From what I've seen of Indian movies, a lot of the commercial movies are musicals with big production numbers, and I'm not sure how much of a plot there even is. Tell us
plots
about
plots are very, very repetitive in Indian films.
What are some of the typical stories in the plots?
Well, typical stories, you see, it's like a sheep mentality. You know, suppose there is an action film which becomes a big hit, then everybody will be making action films for a couple of years till they exhaust their genre. And then suddenly someone will make a love story, meets girl kind of a thing, and becomes a big hit. Then everybody starts making love stories till they exhaust themselves. And they are greatly influenced by the American cinema. Any film which is a big hit here, they will try and adopt it and make an Indian film out of it.
Did you do a lot of musicals?
Well, I have been in musicals, but essentially I have been a character actor in those films. I did initially a couple of films with songs and dances. But actually, I feel very uncomfortable in those kind of parts. But I have played major characters in big-budget films.
So why do you feel uncomfortable in the singing parts? Because there seems to be so many of them.
Because I find it ridiculous. I find it illogical. In fact, the other day, someone here asked me, you know, how come, you know, in your film, suddenly we see your characters in films singing and dancing in Vancouver or in Switzerland or in South Africa. How does that happen in the plot? I said, well, the Indian characters dream. They dream that we are in Switzerland, so they are in Switzerland. Or they dream they are in Vancouver, so you immediately cut, oh, we are in Vancouver.
No, I think one of the directors you worked with in your years working in the art cinema was Satyajit Ray.
That's right.
What was the name of the film that you did with Satyajit Ray?
It was in Hindi. It was called Sadgati, Sadgati, which means deliverance.
Did he give you any new insights into acting or, you know, into acting on camera?
In my mind was that, you know, one had a view that Mr. Ray, since he does so much paperwork, and you will be just put into a straight jacket and, you know, you won't have any flexibility to do what you want to do. You know, I thought it was just a misconception of people. He was very, very flexible. Yes, true. He did a lot of homework. He did have a paperwork done. But he would give a lot of freedom to the actors. And he was open to any new thing which would help better the film. I mean, one day, for example, we were supposed to be doing the climax scene, which is a big scene, and which he had various shots worked out for it. And it was lunch. Immediately after lunch, I noticed that he's looking at the sky and with eyes absolutely focused. And he kept staring at the sky for a good 30 seconds. I said, what's happening? And we saw it's cloudy. And suddenly he just went berserk and he ordered that put the maximum trolley you have, just fix that. So we had about 100 feet trolley, and which was put, and he took that entire scene in one shot. And it was very dramatic because it started raining, and that's what he expected. And he wanted to use the rain. But at the same time, he changed his shots. Instead of taking different shots, he took one shot because obviously he thought that if the rain stops in between and he hasn't finished the scene, then where will he get the artificial rain? So that was very clever and very, very sort of thoughtful of that. Exactly what his fears were, it was right. I mean, the moment we finished that scene, we took about 3 takes and the rain stopped. And then, you know, certain close-ups of mine were done since it was just a close-up, with a bucket and somebody held a branch of a tree over my head and threw a little water on top. And that's how the close-ups were done.
Your father was an officer in the British Army during the era when India was ruled by England. What attitude were you brought up with regarding British rule?
Well, I was born in 50 and we got the independence in 47. So the British had left. I waited for them to come into the world. No, my father did. He was greatly influenced by the Britishers. I mean, he used to refer to their discipline constantly. In fact, he used to, you know, sometime make a comment on that, you know, I wish the Britishers had not gone because we don't know how to look after ourselves, etc. So he had a hangover of British Empire in him. I mean, particularly he used to refer to, you know, because we Indians tend to not, you know, have a great deal of respect for time. You know, if somebody says, oh, well, you're supposed to be there at 9, I mean, it could be 9:40, it could be 9:50. So that used to bug him and irritate him. And plus, you know, the English, for example, is a language of, like any other language in India. I mean, like we have 23 regional languages, and English is also one of them. So it is not that for Indians, English is not a foreign language. It is part of the Indian ethos now. I mean, any child who goes to school automatically learns English. All the government work, central government work is done in English. All the business in India is done in English.
What was it like to have a part in the movie Gandhi about driving out the British after your father had worked in the British Army?
Well, Gandhi, I had a small cameo, but it was an important moment in the film when Gandhi is sitting on a fast in Calcutta and he wants to, stop the riots between Hindus and Muslims. And I was representing the angry Hindus and, a group of Hindus laying arms in front of him and pledging that we will stop the riots, to which I sort of barge in and throw a piece of bread on his face and say, okay, don't die, old man, but here, listen, I have a story. My child was killed by Muslims who was 5-year-old, and now you want us to stop killing Muslims? And then Gandhi gives his own view that, okay, now you pick up a Muslim child and bring him up as your own. And that breaks him, and, you know, he breaks down and he falls at his feet and he gives in. So it's a nice moment in the film Gandhi, which I enjoyed. It was only, as I said, it was a small part. I was not with the unit for a long time. But nicely, I was, you know, pleasantly surprised when that year the Oscars were going on and a couple of my friends in India called me up. He said, hey, put on your television. They are showing your scene in the Oscars. So I was quite tickled. And but by the time I switched on, it had gone because it was such a small clipping.
My guest is Indian actor Om Puri. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our interview recorded in 2000 with actor Om Puri, who has made over 130 movies in India. He also starred in the British films East is East and My Son the Fanatic, and he co-stars in the new Merchant Ivory movie, The Mystic Masseur. Are actors in India, successful actors, treated as stars in the way that we have stars in America? You know, like this, the celebrity class is a class unto itself in America. They have a lot of money. They live in separate places. They tend to socialize with each other and to be treated almost like, gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is same there. But to be honest, I don't fall into that category and neither I would want to. I am very well known all over India. But the only difference is they wouldn't want to tear my clothes if they see me. Yes, they would want to talk to me. They would want to have a chat with me. They would want to know what I'm doing here. They'll be very interested. Perhaps, you know, the kind of image which I have created for myself through my films, because the films are not fantasies, you know. They've been real films. So my image as a social being is very different than the commercial stars. And I don't avoid people, you know, whether it's at the airport, whether it's in a social place or in a market, suppose you bump into, you know, people. And if we are filming outdoors, we do attract a lot of crowd And if people want to have a word, you know, one goes up to them and says hello. And but I do attract a lot of crowds, and I do get fan mail, and all those things are there. But as you earlier asked me, do we have stars who live separately, who have flashy cars, you know? Well, we do. We do.
Well, what are some of your impressions of the differences for an actor making a Western movie compared to an Indian film?
The major difference in India, particularly in commercial cinema, is the fact that the films are not shot at a stretch. They are shot in bits and pieces. You shoot for a film for 10 days and then you don't shoot for that film for 3 months. Then you shoot for 20 days. Then you don't shoot for that for maybe 6 months. So it's shot in bits and pieces, which is a very erratic way of working, really.
That sounds really odd.
Sorry?
I said that sounds really odd because, first of all, your body can change in 6 months. And second of all...
Yes, and it does. Uh-huh. It does, you know. But people try and, you know, say, for example, they will keep the same haircut for every role they play, you know, the commercial actors. And they would try and keep their same weight. But a lot of times, if the film gets delayed, which it does actually, you know, normal Hindi commercial film takes 1.5 years to, it can go up to 3 years. So in 3 years, people do change. People put on weight, people, you know. So that's a major difference, really. And whereas in the West, I presume, you know, particularly the films which I have done, 10, 12 films abroad, that the films are shot at a stretch. And another peculiar thing, which is quite funny, is that commercial cinema does not give you a copy of a script, unlike the art cinema in India. They tell you a story and they tell you your character, but you don't have a copy of script in your hand.
So how do you learn your lines?
You get it on the same day when you go for filming. You get it on the same morning. So no homework is expected from an actor.
What's the rationale behind that?
Well, rationale is that they are not ready with their scripts. In fact, when they ask me in India, you know, what is the difference between shooting in the West and East and here, I say, well, they work on a script for 2 years. And then go ahead and shoot the film within 6 months and that's it. And you work here for 2 months on a script and then go on shooting for 3 years. But Terry, let me tell you, the thing is, they feel very insecure, the producers. That is why they don't give you a copy of the script. Because they all get worried that somebody else will steal their subject. Because we don't have a serious copyright, etc. So therefore, they don't reveal their scripts. They would have a copy of the script, but it will be with them. And they never reveal the climax of the film till the end. When they're almost done with the entire film, then they go and shoot the climax because they feel that some other producer or director will steal their idea and they won't have the novelty.
So how do you evaluate if you want to do a movie or not if you haven't even had a chance to read the script?
Well, you know the story and you know the character and you take it from there. I mean, when the scene comes in front of you and the senior actors would sit on it, maybe disagree and, you know, change, talk about it, and then take their time to prepare the part. But it is not a professional way of working, and that is why that cinema does not really interests me so much, though I have to work in it because, you know, for the living, because that cinema has given me all the goodies in life. All the facilities I enjoy did come from commercial cinema, so I am grateful to that cinema also. I try to be as disciplined as professional as I am for art films. I treat commercial cinema also the same way, like going on the set on time. But our stars are quite notorious. I mean, they don't show up on time. This is, you know, something which is very, very annoying. They are pretty indulgent. You know, unlike the West, even huge stars, I have whatever films I have, whether it was Patrick Swayze or Val Kilmer or, you know, Michael Douglas, all of them, I mean, they are absolutely punctual. They are ready with their lines, and they are, you know, truly professional. And I hope this sense of professionalism comes into the Indian commercial atmosphere also.
Now, you had said that you didn't have an agent until after City of Joy. City of Joy, yeah. So how did you get by in Indian cinema making all those movies without an agent? Do people just call you personally? You know, in America, like, everybody has an agent if they're making movies.
No, in India, I do have what we call, we don't call it agent, we call it a secretary. So I do have a secretary in India, but he doesn't look for work for me. The work comes and he handles it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of organizing dates or talking to the producers about money and then, you know, recovering the money, looking after my income tax, etc. All this job is done by him. But in fact, when I did take on a secretary, I told him also, I said, please, you don't look for work. The work will come and we are supposed to handle it. Because suppose you bring in work and which I don't like, you make an effort, and then it will be, it won't be nice that I say no to it, and you know, I'll also feel embarrassed by saying no, because I want to make choices.
Actor Om Puri co-stars in the new Merchant Ivory film The Mystic Masseur. Our interview was recorded in 2000. We'll hear more of it in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Indian actor Om Puri. He's made over 130 movies, mostly in the Indian film industry known as Bollywood. He's also starred in the British films East is East and My Son the Fanatic. He co-stars in the new Merchant Ivory movie The Mystic Masseur, based on a novel by Nobel Prize winner V.S. Naipaul. I spoke with Om Puri in 2000. Om Puri, how did you end up acting? How old were you when you decided you wanted to act?
Well, in school, I was fascinated by army. I wanted to be a soldier. But when I reached college, I drifted. I mean, I started participating in college activities, and one of them was also working in the plays. And I was picked up by a couple from a youth festival, college youth festival, where they were one of the judges. And they had their own semi-professional theater group. And they invited me to join that. And I joined that theater group. And, while I was doing my college, I did a number of plays with them. They did a lot of Western plays also, like Strindberg and Bernard Shaw and Ibsen. And also Indian social plays. And then that's where I really got hooked on to. And through them, I came to know about National School of Drama, which I joined later. So that's how I really drifted. And I mean, I was very shy and very reserved as a child. Very, very introvert. And I think somewhere I feel that by acting in those social plays, somewhere I found a great satisfaction that something which I feel strongly about your society, about your views on the society, what you see on the streets, etc. And those plays were giving voice to my emotions.
Did acting make you less shy?
Eventually it did, over a period of time. You know, I mean, I could be exuberant in, strangely, in a scene. But the moment scene is over and I'm back to normal life, I would again go into my shell. It went on. In fact, I remember in drama school, I was supposed to do a very tender romantic scene. I think we were doing, yes, it was Kukeshan Chalk Circle, and I was playing Simon. And I was supposed to hold hand of this girl, and I was about 20 that time. And I was very sort of, I was shivering. And then the director noticed, and he took me aside. He said, "Om, explain me, feel comfortable. You must, it's emotions, and these are noble emotions, etc., etc." So gradually, I think I did, become comfortable.
Now, you've been making more movies in England. I imagine one of the obstacles you're up against is trying to find good roles for an Indian actor.
Yes.
My guess would be there aren't a lot of them.
Yes, I wouldn't say there are a lot of them. And that's why I'm not leaving my ground.
Right.
That's Bombay.
Right.
So whenever I have an opportunity, because I've been enjoying to work in the West, and I hope I do find, roles like in the past, people who had faces like me, like Mr. Anthony Quinn, who has been my favorite, and also Omar Sharif, who could look like an Arab. And I hope that I do have interesting parts, not necessarily major roles, but interesting characters. I'll be happy enough to work in those.
You said that people like Anthony Quinn and Omar Sharif have faces like you. What kind of face do you have?
I think I essentially have an Asian face, and a gypsy face, and I could be from Arab, I could be from South America, parts of South America, So it's not necessarily a Indian face. It's a rustic face. It's not traditional good-looking chocolate face.
What does chocolate face mean?
Chocolate face means well-chiseled, beautiful, everything proportional. I have a big nose, big fat nose. And I have pork marks, which I got it when I was about 5, I think. I had smallpox.
You had smallpox?
Yes, I had smallpox when I was about 5.
And that scarred your face?
Yes.
Wow, do you have a lot of memories of when you had smallpox?
I think I have been even smaller than that. The only image I do remember that my mother used to tie me to the cot, when she had to do some work, she used to tie me so that I don't scratch. She used to tie my hands to the cot.
Did you?
That image I do remember.
Was it questionable whether you'd survive or not?
Yes, it could have been, because we were actually a big family. We were 8 brothers, sisters, and today we are just 2 of us. I'm the youngest in the family, and my mother lost all 6 of them. My eldest brother, she lost him when he was 15, one brother at the age of 9, one sister at the age of 5. One sister I remember seeing when I was in college, she was married, and she also died in her, I think she was about 40.
What did they die of?
Well, various diseases. You see, that time, we are talking about, say, 45 years ago, and that time in small towns, etc., the health conditions were pretty bad. My mother said, your eldest brother just came back from school, and she saw his face was red, and she thought it just, his body was warm. She thought just a little temperature or something, but he may have had a high fever, and he just collapsed next day. It was now, of course, the survival rate, of course, is much, much higher. But in those days, the survival rate was pretty low. And that was one of the reasons why people had a lot of children in the past, because they didn't know how many of them will survive.
When you were growing up with the pock marks left from smallpox, were you very self-conscious about that as a kid?
I was, to be honest. When I used to look at films, etc. And that is why, perhaps one of the reasons why I didn't go directly to cinema. I went into theater. And I thought, I don't have a right kind of a face for the theater. Till I was exposed to world cinema, when I saw, the international cinema or cinema of Satyajit Ray and Mrinal Sen, then I saw that, there are faces like me in in these films. And since I was only exposed to the commercial Indian cinema, you know, which had most faces were chiseled, what we call chocolate faces.
Mm-hmm. Were you worried about the close-ups
then,
too?
Yes, then my taboo really sort of broke, and I started thinking in terms of, then, you know, I was no longer self-conscious, and today I'm not. In fact, when I came to Bombay, some of my senior friends did suggest me that I should go in for plastic surgery. I said, no, I will not fool around with my body, but I will play, you know, I will accept whatever his nature has given me.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I just think it's really good when people can have their real faces and don't have to get them surgically altered, because there's so much of that now. And it's also one of the things that makes you so interesting to watch, because you have such a real face, an expressive one at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine myself going through plastic surgery and looking at myself that, you know, where is the person gone with whom I had lived for 30
exactly,
years or 35
exactly.
years? Yeah.
Well, Om Puri, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. It's been great talking to you, and it's a great pleasure.
Om Puri recorded 2 years ago. He's starring in the new Merchant Ivory film, The Mystic Masseur. This is Fresh Air.